Yes, and welcome to Animal Voices. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible." You are listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver, also known as Co-op Radio, your commercial-free, community-based, and community-sponsored radio station. Alan Jensen, thank you for being in the control room. My name is Carl Loskin, and we have John Pranger, who is awaiting the calls. We'll hear more about that shortly, because it's it's the time now to support Animal Voices and make sure that we continue to be on the air. So my co-host, Marge Adams, is here. And Marge, what will you be doing today?
Well, for one thing, I want to encourage listeners to contribute to CFRO. I wonder if you realize that CFRO stands for City Free Radio. And that's what we are. We're free of sponsors, donations being dependent on advertisers to get to us. Instead of that, we rely on our listeners, and they have supported us for a good many years now. We must always remember that we can't get along without your cooperation and your support, because there are many expenses that come up in a radio station, rent, supplies, etc., but not labor. We don't spend very much at all on labor, because most of us volunteer for what we're doing and loving it. So each program is assigned a quota at each fundraising season, and we are assigned a quota, of course, for Animal Voices. Now, in order to continue on the radio, we do have to have your help. And we would like to continue making the public aware of animal welfare needs and encouraging people to be considerate of the other species on our planet. So please give John Pranger, our co-host for several years, actually, and he's helping us out again today by coming in to answer the telephone. So please give John a call at 604-684-8494.
Yes, and we do have a giveaway book here, Alan. It's by John Robbins. Just a wonderful book.
This is an excellent book. It's called Reclaiming Our Health, subtitled Exploding the Medical Myth and Embracing the Source of True Healing. And this is a classic book, and you can have a copy of it, a nicely looked after copy of this book. If you take out a membership, the regular membership is $60. So if you'd like to take out a regular membership, or if you can afford to give more, if you want to become a monthly sustainer, which is $10 a month or more, you can pay by Visa or MasterCard. John Pranger will tell you all about that when you call in. But the first thing you need to do is go to the phone and give us a call and say, yes, I'm going to support community radio. Finally, it's time. You won't get this sort of radio anywhere else, and that's the truth. No other radio station does the sort of programming you hear on Co-op Radio. No other show in this neck of the woods has a weekly show devoted to animals and animal welfare, and acknowledging the fact that animals are co-inhabitants of the planet, and we should look after them as same as we look after each other. 684-8494, and you can get a copy of this book if you want, or just take out a membership. Make a donation.
Yes, and shortly we'll be speaking with Howard Lyman. A very political issue here, which is very topical to United States, but it also affects us here in Canada. And we'll be talking about the U.S. food disparagement laws, freedom of speech, the Patriot Act, and the Animal Enterprise Act. And one encouraging moment here is there is a California Proposition 2 to eliminate factory farming, or dramatically change factory farming. And so we'll be hearing all about that from Howard Lyman. And in the second part of the program, we'll also be speaking with Alan Jensen. We'll be talking about Alan.
Well, there's various things we can talk about. I've got to catch the phone, but I just very quickly, one of the things we can talk about is the lame duck George president, the May lame duck president George Bush has actually done something to help the birds, and we'll talk about that later, as well as other things closer to home.
Yes, and we'll be talking about the extinct species, why there has been such a dramatic decline in the populations of many mammals and also our birds. So that's going to be in this second part of the program today. Well, Howard Lyman is a longtime friend of Animal Voices. He's a world known. He's the author of a book called Mad Cowboy and No More Bull. And he has a wonderful new DVD out called Mad Cowboy Lecture. And I think everybody should listen to that. Today, we'll be speaking about the food disparagement laws. Welcome to Animal Voices, Howard Lyman.
Yeah, Carlos, it's a joy to be with you and my Canadian friends.
Well, you have many friends up here, and you know, but today, because the world is so political, and in the United States, it's always a lesson to us what might befall us one day here in Canada. And I was wondering if you could give us a background of here when you and Oprah were challenged in a court case in Amarillo, Texas. You and Oprah Winfrey. And you people won this on the edict of freedom of speech. And there was the food disparagement laws. Maybe you can just enlarge on that. And over to you.
Well, the first thing we need to do is look at the history. If you remember back, there was a time when they were talking about Alar, a spray that was being used on apples, and the detrimental effect to our kids. Now, it was a landmark case. The industry went out and sued over the fact that they were telling the people in North America the fact they were using LR, and it was on the apples, and it was ending up in our children. Became quite a court case, and what it finally came down is the fact that what they said was true. They were using LR, it was on the apples, and it was ending up in the children. So the industry looked at it and said, we need to have some sort of legislation on the books that will keep people from going out and blowing the whistle and telling everybody about what we're doing. And so they designed a law, and they called it the Food Disparagement Law. Now, this Food Disparagement Law was basically a law that said it was against the law to say something you knew to be false about a perishable commodity. Now, we need to think that through and store it in our memory bank, because what it said, we need to go out and pass a law that says it's against the law to say something we know to be false about a perishable commodity. Well, Oprah Winfrey invited me to go on her show. She wanted to do a show that was called Dangerous Food. Could it happen here? Well, I was willing to do that. I knew that 13 states had passed this food disparagement law. I thought it through. I consulted with an attorney friend of mine, and I said to him, now, how do I protect myself on this? And the advice I got was, tell the truth. Whatever you do on the show, make sure that what you do is you tell the truth. So Oprah came to me and she said, is it true that we are grinding up cows and feeding them to cows? And I said, absolutely. And she said, that's a strong statement. I said, Oprah, we have 100,000 cows a year that are fine at night and dead in the morning. We round them up, grind them up, turn them into feed, and feed them back to other cows. Now remember, the food disparagement law, I needed to tell the truth. That statement was absolutely true using USDA statistics. And then I said to her, we're going out and we're collecting roadkill, deer, elk, possum, raccoons. We scrape them up off of the road and we send those to rendering plants. Grind them up, turn them into feed, and we're feeding those to cows. that statement also was true, exactly what was happening. Then I said, hey, you know, we have euthanized pets, dogs and cats, that are full of chemicals that are used to kill them. The city of Los Angeles alone, 200 tons of dogs and cats a month are being ground up, turned into feed, and fed back to our pets or our food animals. Now, this statement also was true. Exactly what was happening, I had data to show that that was true. And Oprah said, you know, that just stops me cold. I will never again eat a burger. Now, here we have the First Amendment right, the right of free speech. I was very careful that we take a look at what she said. She said, that stops me cold. I will never again eat a burger. She did not say to the millions of viewers, I think the meat's infected. She didn't say, I think you should not eat it. She just said, that stops me cold. I will never again eat a burger. So, Carlos, being there on the show, being aware of the law, I felt very comfortable that within the scope of the law, everything that I had said was the truth. Everything that Oprah said was couched in her opinion, that she had the right of free speech of saying what it was that she would or would not do. Well, for that, a group of cattlemen in Texas, they turned around and they sued Oprah, Harpo Production, and myself under this food disparagement law. Well, you know, it was the craziest thing in the world because I knew I'd said the truth. I was comfortable that, Oprah had only used her First Amendment rights. And the amazing thing about it is that what I called for on the show was the fact that we wouldn't quit feeding cows back to cows. We were talking about mad cow disease. USDA and FDA did exactly what I called for. They banned the feeding of cows, sheep, and goats back to cows, sheep, and goats. And so I thought, sure. When we went to Amarillo, Texas, which, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it is clearly visible from there, I was sure that the judge would throw the case out because it was clear that we had not violated the intent of this law. But the amazing thing about it is that the largest employer in Amarillo, Texas, was a slaughter facility killing cattle. Bumper stickers all over town said the only mad cow in Texas is named Oprah. I knew we were in trouble. And I knew that this was not about going back on the intent of the law. I knew that what they were doing was putting us into the worst venue in the world, people that were absolutely steeped in the cattle culture. And so it was not about had we violated the law. I believe that the industry was clearly out to intimidate the rest of the media market, basically saying to them, if you're going to go and tell people the truth, we are willing to go and spend untold amount of dollars suing you to show you that we don't think it's a good idea that you go and tell the truth to the American people. Now, we were in that courtroom for 6 weeks. The jury came back and found Oprah, Harpo Production, and myself not liable. What they said is that we had told the truth, that we did not violate the food disparagement law. The cattlemen immediately appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're in the Fifth Circuit Court for a year. They finally come back with a panel decision, a unanimous panel decision, that said that we were not liable. Oprah, Harpo Production, or myself, we're not liable of violating that law. And then they said, in their opinion, everything that Lyman said on the show was true. and the truth is not actionable. Well, the industry sued us two more times after that before, finally, after 6 years, that the judge threw the case out with prejudice, which meant they could not refile it. But the industry looked at it, Carlos, and they said, you know, this basically shows that the food disparagement law is not going to keep people from going out and telling the truth about what we are doing. So we need to remanufacture the legislation that is out there so that we can make a difference. So they were looking for a vehicle. They were looking for a way that they could add a law that would actually get through the House and the Senate. And when they ended up with the Terrorist Act on the World Trade Center in New York City, they came up with a group of legislation that immediately went through because they were worried about terrorists. They wanted to be able to give law enforcement all of the tools that they would need, you know, wiretapping and you name it. And it was sort of a hasty thing that was done. It was called the Patriot Act. Well, the cattle industry and the food industry looked at it and said, this is a perfect example of what we will do. We'll add our legislation onto that, and we'll call it the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act. You know, that this was done in the Patriot Act for offsetting what the terrorists were doing. So they designed a piece of legislation that they put on that called Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act, and what it basically said was it will now be against the law in the United States of America to go and say something that causes economic damage to the industry, even if it's true. Remember, the Fifth Circuit Court came back and said that I was not guilty because I told the truth. So they went and they turned the legislation around and said, if you cause economic damage to the industry, even though it's true, you are guilty of violating this law. That law is on the books today, and if you look at Oprah, Harpo Production, and myself being found not liable under the food disparagement law from 1996 until 2000 and 2002, and not being liable because we told the truth. Now, if we did exactly the same thing today, had exactly the same show, told the truth exactly the same as we did in 1996, under this new law, we would be guilty because we caused, in their opinion, economic damage to the industry. That's where we are today.
Now, 9/11 was this opportunity to restrict the freedom of speech edict that you won in Amarillo, Texas, with Oprah. So it's just so unbelievable, because where do we go from now? I mean, so we have this act in place now. And that must terrify people who think of you and see that this whole Oprah case and fighting the victory for freedom of speech, that to fight this Patriot Act or Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act would take another 5 to 6 to 7 years out of their lives.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that they realize, Carl, that if this, let's say that Oprah and I did exactly the same thing that we did 6 years ago, or in 1996, and we did the same thing, and they turned around and sued us, it would take a few hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through the court system again, and under the present law, I feel comfortable that we would be found guilty. But that would not be the end of it. Then we would appeal it, and we would basically say, this law should be considered to be unconstitutional under the Constitution that we have. Now, depending on the makeup of the Supreme Court at the time this case would finally get through the system to the Supreme Court, I would think that the Supreme Court that we have here right now, there would only be about a 50-50 chance, in my opinion, that the Supreme Court would throw the case out because our rights under the Constitution were being violated. Look at that, a 50-50 chance when we ended up with a nation that was built on the fact that we have the idea that we have the right of free speech. The fact of it is, we do not have the right of free speech. Most Americans today have no idea that this legislation is in place. There has never been a case of law that has tested it as far as its validity, as far as the Constitution goes. And I would say that with the mentality of the judicial system today and what has happened since 9/11, I would tell you that I would think that winning this in court would be rather an iffy event, in my opinion, today.
Now, has anybody ever been sentenced under the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act?
No, there's never been anybody that's charged under it, and so it has never been tested. You know, there was, if somebody was convicted under it, then they would have the right to appeal it to the Court of Appeals, and it would go through the Court of Appeals, and they would have the opportunity of going all of the way to the Supreme Court. Nobody has ever been charged. I think that the industry, they're not interested in charging somebody with this law. I think what they are doing is intimidating the media so that every news director in North America is sitting down today, and they're basically saying, do we want to do a story on the food industry that puts them in a bad light? Do we want to take a chance that they may do to us what they did to Oprah and cause us to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars defending ourselves, even though we feel that under the Constitution that we are protected, but under this law, all of a sudden we look at it and maybe we aren't protected? So I think the industry looked at it and said, we're going to put you between the rock and the hard place. People like myself that go out and speak on these issues are taking our future, our homes, all of our assets, and putting them on the line because they can go and drag you through court. And even if you win, you may end up bankrupt in the process of doing it, because you may have to use up all of your resources to defend what you believe to be your constitutional rights.
Now, Howard, maybe you can correct me if I'm not wrong here. I was under the impression that there was a group in Los Angeles who received very heavy sentences, and because what they did was they mentioned the names of the vivisectors on their web page. Do you know anything about that?
Well, what we have, Carlos, is we have some different legislation that is out there. I do not believe that those people that ended up with the sentences, that they were tried under the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act.
Okay.
I think that was a completely different piece of legislation, but in my opinion, that it's also there to put a damper on anybody shedding light on the industry doing something that you don't agree with.
Now we're going to go to a more cheerful note, because I don't know if you watched this past week, Oprah Winfrey had a show on about Proposition 2 in California, which, you know, and she had a wonderful pro. Did you see that?
I did not see it, but I have heard about it.
And anyway, she was speaking about she showed examples of chickens running free range. She showed pictures of, and then she showed the factory farm situation. Then she had pictures of pigs in a free range situation and discussed it with the owners. And then she showed the true situation with the way the sow stalls are. And then she did the same with the veal crates. And then this is because there is Proposition 2 in California. And if this passes, it's quite magical, I thought. I mean, it would be just such a wonderful step ahead, even though they're projecting to 2017.
Well, the important thing, I think, Carlos, is that to realize that most consumers in North America do not have a clue where their food comes from or how it's produced. And so I think Proposition 2, the greatest advantage of Proposition 2, it is focusing the light on some of the practices that are used in confinement agriculture, animal agriculture today. I think what Oprah did, she just went and showed the difference between how the animals would interact if they were raised as nature intended and what had happened when they put them in factory farms. I think she did a wonderful service for the consumers out there to realize that every time you go to the market and you lay down a dollar, you're voting on which one of those systems that you think would be the best. I think it is common sense to make sure that the animals have room to run and play and spread their wings, and the idea of using them as just a commodity, that they are not a living being, in my opinion, that's wrong. So I think what Oprah did was a great thing. I think that Proposition 2 in California is making millions of people aware of how their food is produced. I will be very surprised if Proposition 2 does not pass in California, because I think it's common sense. People are not interested in causing that kind of hardship on animals, even though they're actually taking them and consuming them in the future. Now, the law, the way that it is written, it is a long time lead time, as far as it gives the industry plenty of time to reform their bad habits. That does not please me. But I do believe that the education part of it is absolutely priceless.
Now, we're speaking with Howard Lyman. He is the author of the best-selling book, The Mad Cowboy, The Plain Truth from the Cattle Rancher Who Won't Eat Meat. He has another wonderful book called No More Bull. And people go to your webpage, madcowboy.com. You can, from once a month or so, you send out a newsletter. And saving the earth, one bite at a time. It's a wonderful news info. We invite everybody to go to Howard Lyman's webpage, madcowboy.com. And Howard, I was wondering whether you could stay online. We need to do a station break, and it's also our semi-annual fundraiser. We'd like to talk about some of the issues regarding, they're putting on a big campaign about chocolate milk. So maybe, and of course, the implication is that this is the protein and this is the calcium that athletes need. So if we can talk about that after this little break here, and is that okay with you?
Sure.
Okay. And you're listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver. And Alan, maybe you can just tell us why everybody should join up today and say, yes, they want to have Animal Voices continuing on the air with Co-op Radio.
Well, there's all kinds of reasons, but primarily, if you're interested in having a show that does give a voice to our animal brethren, then you need to support this program and support Co-op Radio, because this is the only place you're going to find it. And we don't have the restrictions that might exist if we were in the United States in terms of what Howard was talking about and what we can say about animal producers and food. luckily, still, at least still in Canada. We don't know what our new government's going to do, but up until this point, we can still say what we think. And we do. And we, on this program, put animals first. Though Co-op Radio does lots of other programs dealing with social issues, dealing with our community, dealing with arts and public affairs and things in our community and in the world. And we need your support. Co-op Radio does not get money from the government. It doesn't get money from big businesses. There are no advertisers, no commercial advertisers here. There's you. You are the advertiser. You are the sponsor. You are the supporter of Co-op Radio. And this is a time of year when you have to pay your dues to keep Co-op Radio on the air. It's very simple. Just give us a call at 684-8494, area code 604, 684-8494, and say, yes, I'm going to do it. You can get a tax receipt if you want for your donation. You can pay by Visa or MasterCard. Or if you want, we can send you a little package with a return envelope, and you can send a check in. But first, you need to do this. The theme of this year's fundraising drive is untying the elephant. And I'd like to mention this afternoon after our show at 2:30, there's a whole big special going from 2:30 until 9:30 tonight called Technicolor Pachyderms on Train to Train. It's a number of our music shows, our jazz and blues and gospel shows are getting together to produce this 8-hour extravaganza this afternoon and this evening. And that's just one of the many, many, many special shows that's going to be coming your way in the next couple of weeks as part of this fundraising drive. But at this point, we just need to remind you and encourage you that it's time to step up to the plate. It's time to support community radio and help keep Co-op Radio on the air. For we've been on the air now on Co-op Radio for, 33 years? And we need to be there for another length, that length of time again. Because there isn't anybody else. There's no other radio station in Canada that, at least in Western Canada, that does this sort of programming. We're it. And we're your voice. We're a critical voice. We're a voice of the community. We're not all the other radio stations in this city are either owned by government or owned by big business, where we are owned by the community. The people who own the station are the members of the station. There's nobody else. So if you want to become a part owner of a radio station, take out a membership, and you'll get a share in Co-op Radio, and you'll be able to go to the annual general meeting and vote with all the other shareholders, because it's your radio station. And you can have input in it if you want, too. You can come down here and take part in Co-op Radio. It's as democratic as could be. It's open as can be. It's accessible as can be. This is community radio, so keep it on the air. Give us a call at 684-8494.
Thank you, Alan. You always do it so well. You know, you're listening to Animal Voices. Our webpage is animalvoices.org. And we're so privileged to have people like Howard Lyman on our show. Who else would be able to speak from experience and explain, as he did this morning, the intricacies of the food disparagement laws, which were in effect in 13 states in the United States, freedom of speech, and the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act. Howard, it's your experience is so valuable to Co-op Radio and to Animal Voices. Your webpage is madcowboy.com. We love your books, No More Bull and Mad Cowboy. And I particularly enjoyed your lecture, Mad Cowboy Lecture 2007. And it's Saving the Earth One Bite at a Time. I really enjoyed that. Welcome back to Animal Voices, Howard Lyman.
Well, you know, what's really nice, Carlos, is to know that community radio is there. I had a good friend tell me one time, a long time ago, he said, you know, the smallest radio station in the market will reach more people than the largest venue in town. And here we have right now the opportunity to share information with our friends and neighbors, and it will only be there if we decide that we're going to make it happen. We don't have to do everything, but each one of us out there as a listener has to do something. And so I would encourage my friends out there to step up to the plate, write a check, make sure that this is available for the future, because if we're going to educate people on the things that are affecting our lives, it's going to happen from community radio It's not going to happen from the big guys. So it's a joy for me to be with you, and I think you guys have done a great job for 33 years, and I think 33 more years is a good place to start.
Thank you, Howard. Now, we said that we would just like to cover the saturation advertising that I see on some of the TV channels here in Canada about chocolate milk and athletics, and that this is so good for you. Now, in your presentation, this your DVD Mad Cowboy Lecture, you speak about some of these issues about the dairy, and that's why I'm asking you, maybe you could just cover some of those, what you said on your wonderful DVD.
Well, you know, I was raised on a dairy farm in Montana. It was the largest dairy farm in the state of Montana during the Second World War, so I've had considerable amount of experience with cows and dairy products, and probably nobody listening out there has consumed more milk and ice cream than I have. But the thing that amazes me is when I stop and take a look at it, and when I changed my diet, I found that giving up meat was like falling off a log, no problem at all. But giving up cheese was really much more like when I quit smoking. And so the human body does really get attached to it. And so I've spent a considerable amount of my time reading and studying about it. And here's what came to me that probably the most interesting out of all of my studies. Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who did the largest dairy dietary study in the world called the China Project, he wrote in his book, The China Study, about what happened in Cornell University, where he was teaching. Now, remember, Dr. T. Colin Campbell is probably one of the most eminent researchers on diet in the world. And he was talking about the fact that they had a group of rats that were genetically engineered to have cancer. Now, they didn't know what they were going to do with them, but they were looking for what sort of a ration that they could feed them that would be the least cost of the university. And Cornell University happens to be an ag school. There's a dairy. They had a lot of casein, which is 87% of the protein of dairy products. They had a lot of it. It was cheap. And so they decided that they would take these 100 rats that had cancerous tumors, and they would just put them on a 20% casein diet for protein. A lot of it was cheap, no problem, so they did that, and lo and behold, they all died. They were quite surprised at that, and so they got another 100 rats, all genetically disposed to have cancer, put them back on the same ration, and doggone it, they died again. So then they got another set and the same thing, but they only took a third of them and put them on this 20% casein diet, which is 87% of the protein out of dairy products, and that one-third, they died. They took another third and put them on a 15% casein diet, and two-thirds of them died. They took the other third and put them on a 20% plant-based protein diet, and not only did they live, but they thrived. So this opened their eyes, and they thought, maybe what we should do is go into the laboratory, and we should put cancer cells in association with casein and see what would happen. And they found that putting casein together with cancer cells in the laboratory was like putting gasoline on a fire. Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who I believe is one of the greatest nutritional researchers alive on the planet, he writes in his book, The China Study, that he believes that the animal protein is directly related in some of the greatest health problems that we have: heart disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes. So for me, being raised on a dairy farm, I became very interested in following dairy products and health and the whole thing. And lo and behold, here I am, an ex-dairy farmer, and I basically say to people, you know, my advice is the first thing to take out of your diet is dairy. The reason for that, Carl, is not only the study on the cancer cells and casein, but if we look at things like osteoporosis, you know, is too much protein in the diet, and no amount of milk or dairy products is going to cure you if you have too much protein in your diet, because your body then needs to go and neutralize the additional protein that is being excreted in the body through the kidneys. And the way they do that is they take the calcium out of the bone to neutralize that. And so thinking that consuming dairy products would be the ideal thing of weighing, getting more calcium, they have shown in studies that when they measure the amount of calcium going into the body from dairy products, and the person has too much protein in their diet, that there is more calcium that comes out of the body in the feces and the urine than what went in the dairy products in the first place. So we need to stop and rethink this whole thing about where do Homo sapiens get the needed calcium they need for strong bones that are out there. Maybe we ought to be looking at where do the other large critters on the planet get theirs. I think the studies show that getting what you need calcium-wise from good green leafy vegetables with a restricted protein diet is a much better idea than going out there and buying into a chocolate milk myth.
Now, also, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. There was a gigantic study which the dairy industry wouldn't like anybody to know. You mentioned that in your Mad Cowboy Lecture DVD.
Well, the industry, you know, they want to merchandise the product, and they thought that the best thing that they could do would be to do a study, and they could show that under controlled conditions that subjects consuming 3 glasses of milk a day would end up with stronger bones than they had before this. And so they thought, if we're going to run this campaign, we should get measured their bone density. They had them certified drinking 3 glasses of milk a day throughout that study. At the end of the study, they went and measured the bone density again with the idea that they were going to be able to say, drinking 3 glasses of milk a day over this period of time has increased the bone density in these subjects. The problem was, when they brought these attractive college subjects in and measured their bone density at the end of the study, they found they had less bone density at the end than they had when they were started. That study was never released by the dairy industry, and most people out there still believe that the greatest way to get calcium in the human body is in a high-protein, animal-based diet, and the fact of it is, that is not true.
Howard, we've covered so much today, and eternal gratitude, but if people want to get your newsletter, your email newsletter, how can they do that?
You can just go to my website, madcowboy.com. You can sign up there. All of my material, my books, and my DVDs are available. Or you can actually turn around and email me at hlyman@aol.com. I'd be more than happy to communicate with you.
Thank you, Howard, for always being available for Animal Voices. You have changed people's minds so much. And, you know, one day you came to Vancouver maybe 18 years ago, and you said, no animal has to die for me to live. And I took it very personally because no animal has to die for me to live. Thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you. And for the listeners up there, now's the time to get off of your hands and help support community radio. It's not going to happen if you don't do something about it. These kind of conversations will cease if we don't, each one of us, go and do our part, make sure that community radio has another 33 years, and if it does, make sure that you're part of it. It's been a joy for me, and all my best to all my friends.
Thank you, Howard Lyman. MadCowboy.com is the webpage. Bye for now, Howard.
Howard.
And yes, and you're listening to Animal Voices on CFR Radio 102.7 FM. And yes, we have some people phone in. For those who phoned in, thank you very much.
Yeah, the book we were offering was taken, so that's gone. And we don't have any other incentives right at hand here, though we could certainly find you something good if you wanted, if you'd like something. We've got lots of, the station has lots of music and books available as incentives for people, which you could come down and take your choice. That's one thing you can do if you live in the region and you'd like to take advantage of the incentives we've got. Well, you can come down here to the station, check out the station, and pick an incentive out of the big boxes we've got of CDs and books. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. But the main thing to do, to begin with, is give us a call. Keep the phone room busy out there. They don't want talking of people sitting in their hands. You don't want the people in the phone room to be sitting in their hands. So give us a call at 684-8494, area code 604, 684-8494, and support community radio, support co-op radio. Keep it happening. Howard gave such a good pitch there that I don't need to say very much more. But join Howard, join us, join co-op radio. Keep it happening.
Yes, and thank you, Alan. And over to co-host Marge. Marge, and we also thank John Pranger, who is a great member of the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society. He's here today taking your phone calls, and he's with us today. Over to you, Marge.
Well, thanks, Carl. We can end on a happy note here because there is good news today for the animals, and that was from a Canadian court which declared the seal hunt observers innocent. Now, this is a long-standing case in Canadian
That's
law.
That's good news.
Yes, indeed it is. It dates way back to March of 2006. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police and Department of Fisheries and Oceans charged with violating a condition of their observation license, which requires them to remain at least 10 meters from sealing activity. Well, the people were charged and they were brought into court in October of 07. Now, they had a good defense, however, and that was they had video recordings of by four separate people who had done this, and the scientific videos actually showed that these people were at least 19.6 meters back from the sealing activity. However, the court case did go ahead, and the defendants were five in number. Two of them were Canadians, two Americans, and one British citizen. And they were all representatives of the Humane Society of the United States and the Humane Society International. So they had a good lawyer, Clayton Ruby. And today, with the success of the outcome, Clayton Ruby made a statement. This was not only a victory for my clients, but for the entire Canadian justice system. Today's ruling proves that we have been saying what we have been saying all along. These charges should never have been brought out in the first place. They were no more than an attempt to silence us. A conviction would certainly have been followed by refusal by the observation permits by the Minister of Fisheries, so that they would probably just have wiped out these permits entirely if the people were convicted. Our presence documenting this cruel hunt of baby seals keeps the pressure of world criticism on Canada and enables us to urge the rest of the world to refuse seal products. So that once again, this is an example of the kind of thing Howard Lyman was talking about, intimidating people so they will not speak out and take a stand. And I think this is a wonderful news story.
Thank you, Marge, for bringing it to us. And also, it comes from the Vancouver Humane Society. Peter Frigate sent that to you. Mm-hmm. So another great organization, together with EarthSave, Canadians for the Ethical Treatment of Food Animals, the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society, all these wonderful organizations, and Coalition for No Whales in Captivity. Well, we have a few minutes left, but Alan, over to you, because we've been seeing such a dramatic decline in bird populations. Over to you.
Yeah, and that's happening on a global basis. Another piece of good news to add to what Marge is saying, this is you're talking about good organizational. BirdLife International is an international organization that looks after all kinds of birds and does things to protect birds that are in danger. And the good news is that this, like I said at the top of the show, this is good news about birds from the lame duck president of the United States, George Bush. President George Bush has presented the Agreement for the Conservation of Albatrosses and Petrels to the U.S. Senate for approval. Now, this agreement is an international treaty between nations. Its provisions advance the goals of protecting albatrosses and petrels. Now, we've talked a bit about this in the program before, that these birds in the southern oceans, and these are ocean-going birds, and they're being just wiped out by fishing, mainly long-line fishing. And anybody who eats fish, that like deep-sea fish, deep-water fish like tuna, marlin, swordfish, particularly tuna, may be contributing to this problem, because most tuna is caught by these long line fishing boats, and they trail these long lines out behind with these, and they put small fish on the hooks as bait to catch the tuna and other fish. But unfortunately, these seabirds see these fish, and that's what these birds do, the albatrosses and petrels, is they pick fish that are on near the surface of the water. They fly over and pick them off the water. And so they're getting caught, like, every day. And it's amazing. Like, this is a huge problem. There are hundreds and hundreds of these big ships in the oceans catching these fish, and every one of them is trailing these long lines. And any one of these boats might catch, a couple of hundred birds a day. And you can imagine, a ship is out there every day. You've got 100 ships every day catching 100 birds, and they're just getting wiped out. And so out of 22 species of albatross in the world, 18 of them are in danger. And some of them are critically in danger. And the same, the petrels are similar to albatrosses, but they're a smaller bird. But it's a really serious problem. So BirdLife International has been working on this for years to try and get various countries to sign up. And a number of countries have already: Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Ecuador, New Zealand, Norway. So there's been a few countries that have, but it's really important that the United States has signed on to this, that at least George Bush has. Now it's up to the Senate. But it's surprisingly a forward-looking move from George Bush to support this treaty. I don't know what arms were twisted to get him on side. But hopefully the U.S. Senate will act, you know, quickly and get this happening. So that's the good news. But you're right, Carl, that there's a problem in many parts of the world. In this case, it's the fishing that is wiping out the birds. In many parts of the world, it's using pesticides. So the birds you see in Vancouver, that before the show you were mentioning that swallows are declining in numbers here, for instance. Some types of hawks in British Columbia are declining. And that's because in the winter they go south, and it's not so dangerous for them here, but they migrate south, and they get to areas where there's uncontrolled pesticide use and stuff like that. And these birds that eat insects, which a lot of them do, the swallows eat insects, that's what they eat, and some of the hawks too, you might not know it, but they eat a lot of insects, also grasshoppers, things like that. And they're getting poisoned. And it's up to our country to put pressure on other countries. And some pressure has been put on, like Argentina, for instance, was a big culprit in this. And they've started to stop using these pesticides that are killing they use the pesticides to the insects, but they're killing the birds. And the other part of it is, of course, changes in the ecosystems where the birds go to. That is, if you take a wetland and remove it all and build a big dock or something, or turn it into a shrimp farm, and that sort of thing has happened really a lot. And it's important that we educate ourselves on what's going on around these things, and we can make a difference by the way we buy things. You know, if you don't buy tuna, if you are going to buy fish, make sure that it's fish that's not. And you can do a little bit of research, and you can find out easily enough. The internet is easy to find stuff in. Same with other products.
Thank you, Alan. And you know, the albatross is such a wonderful bird. I was in the Galapagos, and I know them from South Africa. They have incredible wingspan. And you know, in Peru, I know you go to Peru, these birds can fly like a distance of hundreds of miles.
Thousands of miles. Literally thousands. Yeah. There's one species of albatross that throughout the year goes around the whole world, right? It starts off in the South Pacific, like over towards New Zealand. It goes all the way around the world. It comes back, right? It's totally incredible, right?
I know. And these animals are being wiped out, these wonderful, magnificent birds. Well, Scott Halsey said, the animals are our teachers. They are currently making great sacrifices for us. When everyone has learned from this sacrifice, there will be a new level of relating as equal beings. Thank you. This has been Animal Voices. Our webpage is animalvoices.org. And thank you for those who phoned in. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you to those who phoned in, but there's still time. John is still there. There's people there to answer the phones. 684-8494 is the phone number. Support Animal Voices, support Co-op Radio, support good community radio, critical radio, your voice, the voice of the animals. So give us a call at 684-8494.
Yes, and okay, that's all right. Yes, and in this program, Animal Voices, we wish to celebrate the glory of the animal kingdom, even though in many instances that there is not very good news on the horizon. And I personally believe that when people hear our message here on Animal Voices, that they will get the message of understanding and realize how much we have in common with our kindred species, the animals. And then people will step out and speak out for the protection of our environment and the animals with whom we share this planet.